but I mean,
what's your ideal situation? You want a roaming mic?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just figured...
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the IGO PDP Working Group Policy Update. We'll be starting in about 2 minutes. You're welcome to move closer up if you'd like.
Thank you. because you've got remote participation.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. As I mentioned, this is a policy update for the IGO-INGO PDP Working Group. Thank you for coming this morning. And this, we're going to give a basic background of the current status of the work of the working group in determining whether protections for certain international organization names and identifiers should be extended for those names in the top and second levels in all existing GTLDs. Once we go through that background to give you an update, we're going to ask you to kindly participate in an exercise of trying to generate some ideas or suggestions or feedback on the various policy options that are currently being considered by the working group as a way to help the working group moving forward. And if you were able to participate in the strategic planning exercise on Monday, it's a similar type of setup where we'll have different topic areas around the room here led by professional facilitators and subject matter experts, and would certainly welcome your participation and appreciate that. So in terms of where the working group currently is, well, first of all, the purpose, as I say, of this session is twofold. One is to help raise awareness of the importance of this issue to the community, to provide some transparency on the current deliberations of the working group and the current contrasting positions that are being considered by the working group to address the request to provide protection of certain international organization names in both the top and second level of all existing GTLDs. The other purpose, as I just mentioned, is to engage in an interactive discussion, members of the community, meaning you, to try to come up and get some feedback, to provide some ideas, some suggestions on how the working group can move forward in reaching a consensus position on finding or determining a set of policy recommendations for new GTLDs. In terms of where the working group currently is, it issued its initial report on the 14th of June. This initial report includes a list of policy recommendations for providing certain types of protections at both the top and second level, again, for four categories of international organizations: the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement organizations, the International Olympic Committee, IGOs, and INGOs. And we'll get into the definitions of those terms in a second. And again, it's to look at protections at both the top and second level in both new GTLDs and existing GTLDs. These set of policy recommendations options do not represent a consensus position, but rather the purpose of the initial report is to solicit feedback from the community on whether they support the different types of protection options that have been deliberated by the working group, and to indicate which, if any, of the organizations should qualify for those protections that they indicate support for. The policy initial report comment period ends on August 7th, after which the working group will take a look at and review the public comments received, as well as any input that we get today from this morning's session, with a view of reaching consensus on a set of policy recommendations that then would be put together in a draft final report that also will be open for public comment before being submitted to the GNSO Council for consideration by the GNSO Council whether to adopt such policy recommendations or not. In terms of the next steps, once the public comment period is completed, as I mentioned, the working group will work towards reaching a consensus position on a set of policy recommendations. It also will be working on deliberations on whether there should be an exception procedures, and we'll get into that in a minute here, what that means, in addition to what mechanisms could be utilized to implement any of adopted protections to all existing GTLDs. Most of the focus so far has been on the protection of these organization names or identifiers in the new GTLDs.
Excuse me one second. Can you talk a little slower? The interpreters are having a difficult time following you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you, Nancy. So after working on those deliberations, again, there would be a publication of a draft final report that would be open for public comment. So in terms of today's session, as I mentioned, we would welcome participation by all of you who are present. We have four stations here, starting with A, B, C, and D. Each station will have one of the four key issues that the working group is currently working on in trying to move forward in reaching a consensus position, and we'll briefly go through those four topic questions prior to breaking up into groups that will be led by professional facilitators and subject matter experts. Right. So each group will spend about 15 minutes at each station. We'll go through the issues, the propositions that are involved, and again, would certainly welcome any feedback and or ideas that you may have with regards to the current options, or if you have new ideas, would certainly be most welcome. To help facilitate the discussions, just a couple basic definitions. As I mentioned, the working group is looking at four categories of international organizations: the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement, and its related organizations, the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, international government organizations, or IGOs. Examples of those, for example, would be the World Health Organization and or the World Trade Organization. And then the fourth category are international non-government organizations, or INGOs, other than the Red Cross, Red Crescent, or IOC. Examples of those would be, for example, Médecins Sans Frontières or the World Wildlife Federation. When we talk about the protection of these organizations' identifiers, they mean two things. One is the full name of the organization. The other is the acronym that is assigned to that particular organization, or that is requested or has been registered by that organization. So, for example, you have the World Health Organization is the full name. Its acronym is WHO, or WHO. You have the International Sugar Organization, or ISO. So when we're talking about identifiers, again, we're talking about the full name of the organization along with its representative acronym. In terms of the four issues that are at the center of the deliberations of the working group, the first one, which is over here at Station A, is the question of whether protections should be extended or provided to the identifiers of these four categories of organizations. So the current proposals are protections for the identifiers of the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement organizations. The second proposition is protection of the identifiers of IGOs. The third would be the protection of identifiers of the International Olympic Committee. And then the fourth option would be no special protections beyond current existing ones that are available through rights protection measures. Topic B, and the second key issue that is being deliberated by the working group, is if protections are granted, whether there should be exception procedures. The current protections that have been adopted by the board for the current first round of new TTLDs prevent the registration of these names for the International Olympic Committee, the Red Cross, Red Crescent organizations, and IGOs from any registration. So even those organizations, for example, the IOC or the Red Cross, Red Crescent, cannot register those names at either the top or second levels. So if indeed final protections are adopted and by the GNSO Council and by the board, should there be an exception process that would allow either those organizations and or a legitimate right holder to be able to register those names? And there are currently two proposals that are being considered by the working group. The first one would be a notification objection procedure where an examiner would then take a look at a claim by a legitimate right holder user to see whether their claim is valid in registering that name. The second proposal would allow for registration of a name predicated on the commitment of the filer or the applicant to prevent the confusion or confusing use of that name with the relevant IGO or INGO organization to which that name is attached. The third topic being considered by the working group is whether acronyms should be protected at the top or second level. As I say, you could break identifiers up into two areas. One is the full name of the organization. The other is the acronym. This is an issue that is currently being discussed between the board and the GAC. It's generated quite a bit of interest and discussion, and the working group itself as well is working on this particular issue. And so in the four proposals here, one would be that you extend protection of acronyms at the top and second level. The other option would be is that you use a clearinghouse model, if you will, a notification system to provide protection to the right holder of a certain acronym to see whether the objection and or use would be legitimate and valid. The third would be to come up with a list or a determinative criteria to determine which or if any acronyms should be protected at the top or second level. For example, currently, as a result of work between the board and the GAC, the acronyms and names of 192 international government organizations, or IGOs, are being temporarily protected from registration at the second level of new TTLDs. Is there a way that you can determine a set of criteria so that you would, narrow down that list of 192 to say to those organizations that, for whatever criteria you determine, should be protected, where others then could use a clearinghouse model? The fourth option, of course, would be no protections or no special protections for acronyms of these international organizations. The fourth topic is what should be the objective set of criteria to determine whether an organization should receive or obtain special protections for their names or their identifiers. The first option is the set of objective criteria for the Red Cross and IOC, and for the Red Cross and Red Crescent and IOC. That is currently is based on eligibility based on international protections through treaty and national laws. The second option is protection of IGOs. That would be determined or based on a list that is being provided by the GAC. The third option would be for a set of three objective criteria for the protection of identifiers of INGOs. Okay. So those are the four key issues that the working group is currently working on in terms of its deliberations, and would welcome very much your feedback and ideas in helping them move forward in trying to determine a set of policy recommendations that they can then put out for public comment and submit to the GNSO Council for consideration. What will happen after today's session is we will collect your feedback and ideas, and then process them, summarize them, hand them over to the working group, which will be meeting after the Durban meeting. They will be very much, first of all, appreciated, but also will be utilized, as I said, once the public comment period closes on August 7th, and together with those comments would then be used to, with a view of reaching consensus on a set of policy recommendations that could move forward. Okay. All right, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave King from X-Plane, Professional Facilitators. He's going to briefly explain how this process will work, and then, again, we would welcome that you participate in this exercise as a way to get your feedback and ideas how we can move forward. So thank you very much, and we look forward to your participation.
Briefly, David Olive.
Thank you, David. I'm sorry I was a little late coming from another meeting, but I wanted to talk about the importance of this issue before the GNSO. Obviously, implications because of GAC advice and other interests. It is not an easy issue, as many of our issues within ICANN are complex, with diverse stakeholders looking at it, and the impacts could also be immense. So I hope that you can come and help us on this. Even though the numbers are few here, we can use this as further input into the working group of the GNSO that's looking at this closely. And, of course, the GAC is interested in this, so we'll be happy to share this. So I encourage you to be part of this. The X-Plane facilitators have been very helpful in forming our strategic plan. You saw them maybe on Monday of the first session, and we're very fortunate to have them help us out on this one and hopefully in the future. So please participate in the stations, and Dave, I turn it over to you on how it's going to be done.
Thanks, David.
Please remember to speak slowly. The interpreters are having a problem listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Nancy. Again, my name is Dave King, and this is very interactive. So we're going to get up out of our seats, and we're going to do what we call a gallery walk exercise. And we do have the four stations around the room, A, B, C, and D. And we can just move through them and get your feedback and comments on them. And this is intended to generate discussion and engagement beyond the normal single microphone in the room, so that we can actually have a conversation with each other, and it's not just proposition, comment. Let's actually have a conversation. So if you're here to participate and willing to participate, and we invite you all to participate, would you please come over to Station A, and we can get started with this.
Can I have that back?
Just brief. Thank you. For folks participating remotely, I apologize, but we will be stopping translation because we're not going to be broadcasting over the speakers any longer. We're going to be working at the individual stations in small groups. If you would like to participate in providing feedback, please download the documentation from the website and write up your own thoughts, and you can submit that, find, I guess, an email address to somebody on the policy team to send that in.